Sarah Wolf is kind enough to join us. She is Democrat of the day. 58B is the district, and she's taken some time today to talk about her campaign. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Matt. Thanks for having me on today.
My pleasure. Thank you very much for the time. Let's get a little background information. Who exactly is Sarah Wolf?
Sure. I am a longtime resident of Farmington. My husband, Rich, and I moved here in 2001, right after we got married, and we chose to raise our family here because it's such an awesome community. I have worked in education my whole adult life. I started as a teacher in Farmington Public Schools, and now I work at the Department of Education in special education compliance and assistance. And so I'm just excited to have this opportunity to serve my community.
What was the great decision maker for you? What was it that said to you, you know what, enough's enough. I've had it with the way things are going. I'm going to run for this office.
Yeah, you know, it's really all with all this uncertainty in the world and sort of the what's happening with our really divisive national politics. I really think it's important that we are certain that we have someone from our community that will bring our voice, have our voice at the table. Mm. You know, it's just extremely upsetting to watch what's happening with national politics, especially. So it's more important than ever to have some steady, responsible state leadership. So we need people representing us at the Capitol that can rise above those partisan politics and personal agendas and work in collaboration with their colleagues to focus on solutions instead of pointing fingers and placing blame. And, you know, there's a lot of missed value in conversations with folks who don't agree with our leaders, because those are the conversations that help us understand the perspectives of all the stakeholders who are affected by those decisions that are being made. And so I think that's kind of what pushed me over, is wanting to make sure that we all have a voice and not just those who agree and align with the views and values of those in office.
Well, and you know, I think there's no other issue that highlights what you just described more than this whole thing about face masks. I mean, yeah, we're in a pandemic. You wear a face mask. This is the way we prevent this from getting worse. We're going to try to make this get better. And solely for political purposes, we have a Republican Party, and let's just call it what it is, a Republican Party that's turned face masks into, you know, wearing a face mask is bowing down to the liberal overlords. And it's not. We're trying to save your lives at the same time. It's not a one-sided thing. But, you know, it's that – I know that is kind of one of those things, which is – there for a lot of people, I think stuff like that is like, okay, can't we just have – something like face masks, which clearly do, you know, we wear them in emergency operating rooms, so they clearly have a purpose.
Right.
Why do we have to politicize all this?
Right, especially when there's such clear data and research that points to the effectiveness of wearing a face mask. And frankly, it's a small inconvenience for a lot of us to do that. Mm-hmm. If it saves even one life, isn't that worth it?
Yes. Yes, it is. My gosh, what a rational thought process. We saved a human being's life. How wonderful. Isn't that the whole point? I mean, my goodness. I agree wholeheartedly. I mean, I know, and by the way, once again, Sarah Wolf joining us. 58B is the district, Pat Garofalo's seat. She's Democrat of the day for the day. I know that community health and safety issues, I mean, and this is kind of, I think, going to be top of mind for every election in every district. This time around, are such a priority. We have to have, a decent conversation, clearly, about community health and safety.
Right. Absolutely. You know, I think it kind of starts by recognizing that all of these systems work together, and we can't address the problem by just saying, we need to throw money at this, we need to throw money at that. It has to be a comprehensive effort to address all of the issues that contribute to the health and safety of our communities. Everything from policing to health insurance to social service support infrastructure to transportation, all of those things work together to make sure that we are thriving in safe and supportive communities, and making it more of a political issue than addressing what people's needs are. Where we're spending less time addressing the actual needs of the people that live in Minnesota.
Well, when you have people, I don't hide my, you know, who I am, and when you have people out there in a Republican Party that everything gets turned political, that you when you have you know, like I said, common sense things that basically everything has to have a political slant. You know, you end up not getting a lot of good things done because we're always worrying about, you know, one or two issues or vilifying something, or, you know, we're not looking at the community as a better. And that's one of the things. I'm glad that one of the things the DFL found again in 2018 is the fact that, you know, a fair tide raises all boats. And when, you know, and yeah. we're talking about healthcare, education, fair tax code, business opportunities, transportation, environment, it doesn't matter. If you have a common sense plan that addresses, you know, the interests of the community, that you actually can make the community better. And I think people now are realizing, the DFL is the party that's going to help us out with that.
Yep. And recognizing, too, that rising tides lift all boats, as long as those boats don't have holes in them. Mm-hmm. And so making sure that we're addressing individual issues that will prevent that population or that group of people from benefiting the same way as other people. You know, we see disproportionality in all things across our state, and it's something that needs to be specifically addressed, and we need to see some action. We're past times of talking about it, and we need to see some clear action from our leaders in addressing what's happening in our community of color and throughout our state.
Mm-hmm. Your education, I know, is near and dear to you. Your district that you're going to represent is a very unique one, to a point, in that it's you do have metro suburban type of schools, the closer you get to Minneapolis, but then you also have these rural school districts. And as I've told we've talked about this for many years. I am of the mindset we need to actually rethink how we fund our schools because, you know, when you look at especially the rural school districts and the inner city school districts, this is a common problem both of those school districts have. You can't just constantly be going and asking for a referendum all the time because there's a failure of funds, especially in rural communities where they can't afford it, or the cities where they're getting overwhelmed with tax rates on many different things. I think that for the education issue, and I want to hear how you want to address this for 58B, but I mean, the education issue clearly is something that has been failed to be addressed, and now we're almost at a crisis, especially when it comes to how we fund our education system.
Sure. Yeah, and I would argue, too, that over this time of pandemic, when we're looking at our schools to not only educate kids but to feed them and provide for mental and physical well-being, it really has just emphasized this importance of making sure that we have a strong base structure.
Amen.
And making sure that we're funding it appropriately and frankly, listening to those who know about what works for kids, what works for families, and funding it as such. And you know, we have great schools in Farmington. There's great schools in Randolph, in Northfield, and Hastings, which are all, like you said, it's a diverse set of schools because there's 22 cities and townships in this district. And Farmington is very suburban, and it gets very rural as you go south and east, and making sure that we're really paying attention to what those individual needs are and not coming up with these wholesale decisions that we try to make affect districts in the same way, even though those districts are not, they're not demographically the same and they don't have the same resources. We shouldn't be punishing students who live in rural Minnesota because of some demographic indicator, and they're not getting the same funding and resources as the rest of our schools.
And when farmers
and vice versa.
And when farmers' margins are $24,000-$25,000 a year, you can't just keep going to that well and expect them to be, oh yeah. I mean, there's a very legitimate reason why referendums fail in rural communities is that they don't have the money.
Right. And that, I mean, that contributes greatly to the disproportionate effect we see in funding is what type of land is used and how those property taxes, when you fund the majority of it, a lot of education with property tax, you know, there's disparity in that as well, too. And so we're not all starting on equal footing when it comes to what resources our school districts have.
I also, and I'm glad you brought up one thing, you know, it is, I don't think we have praised the schools nearly enough for during this crisis feeding these kids. Because in every community, in every school district, there are kids that are going hungry. And I've always, I mean, one of the things I always railed against is when Republicans were saying, you know, don't give them free food, throw the food out in front of them and kind of mock them. I said, for God's sakes, this is a child. Give them something to eat. We can figure out the problem later. I think I'm so glad that the schools, we do not give them nearly enough credit. They have been out there in a pandemic, making sure that kids are fed, and that's just brilliant. I am so happy that in Minnesota we're doing that.
Yeah, we've seen some really strong, some strong responses from our school districts, and frankly, I don't know that we would be in the position we are to think about getting through this without the school systems that we have here. Mm. They've just been phenomenal.
I'm going to bring up a topic I talk about with a lot of the Democrats of the day, the broadband. This is another reason why we have to focus on broadband. There's a very likely mm-hmm. chance most school districts will have to go to some sort of either hybrid or distance learning model during the school year. It's just reality. I think if you look at how the health experts are looking at this, that's going to be out there. The failure of the Republican Party to get broadband passed in this state for the last two decades is now exposed. We need to get broadband. And I understand corporations might not want to go on out there and lay the cable for this stuff, but clearly, we have to start thinking of this far more like electricity and water supplies as opposed right. to just some sort of luxury, because we need to have broadband in every corner of this state at this point.
Absolutely. And reliably
yes.
have broadband. I mean, think about how many times you're touching broadband in your daily life.
Yeah.
You know, just to stay connected with folks and figure out what you need. And, you know, oh, I need to make an appointment for my child who's sick. I need to call. I got to find a phone number for that. And, you know, how many of us use phone books anymore? Nope. Yeah. I go right to my computer and I find the phone number. And I mean, so it affects everything. And we have thousands of kids who don't have access to that in our schools. And yet we're saying schools, you have to rely on this entity that kids don't have to educate kids. And so it just doesn't quite work. And it really is another example of how all of these systems are working together. And we need to address the issues across our infrastructure before we can see certain entities and institutions improve and be supported the way they need to be supported.
You every time I talk to a Democrat of the day, I mean, folks, this is not a faraway district. 58B is right to the south of us here. You can actually mm-hmm. it's a quick trip, you know, for a lot, especially anyone on the south side. This is 10-15 minutes. You can get down there yep. into this district. I would really, on a personal level, love to see Pat Garofalo not in St. Paul anymore. I would really like that, which means we need to get Sarah Wolf into the Minnesota House as the representative. Donations, volunteering. Are you doing much door knocking, or is it mainly phone banking right now?
You know, mainly phone banking. We've had to be kind of creative about kind of how to get my name out, and I think right now that is the most important ask, is to start talking, mm-hmm. Talk to your neighbors, talk to your friends, talk to people about getting on my website, finding out more. If you have questions, send me an email and we can set up a time to talk. My husband will tell you, I love to talk to people. And I'm telling, one thing I would like to emphasize too is I don't want to talk to people who just agree with me. I want to talk to people who have thoughts about what's going on, what issues are important to them. Because one of the things that I truly, truly believe is that when you are a leader of your community, you lead all people, not just those who think like you, not just those who vote for you, but as a representative, you represent everyone in your district.
And it makes people, if I can piggyback on what you just said, there is mm-hmm. a narrative that's been put out in rural Minnesota, in more rural districts, about Democrats, which is not true. And by getting out there and talking to people, especially people that might not agree with you, you are changing mm-hmm. that dynamic. There's a reason why the DFL picked up a whole bunch of seats, and the DFL can pick up a whole more bunch of seats if we remind people the party of health care, the party of education, the party of public safety are the Democrats, the DFL. If you remind people of that, that's the important key. Donations mm-hmm. and volunteers are needed. What's the website people should be looking for, Sarah?
Yep, it's wolf4mn.com.
Ooh, that's an easy one. Wolf4mn.com. W-O-L-F, the number 4mn.com. Go volunteer, donate. Sarah, thank you very much. I appreciate the time today.
Thank you.
Sarah Wolf is Democrat of the Day, 58B.